Welcome to Kuvera's weekly digest on the most critical developments related to business, finance, and the markets. The squeaky wheel. I hate to be a kicker, I always long for peace. But the wheel that does the squeaking is the one that gets the grease. Henry Wheeler Shaw, the American humorist better known by his pen name Josh Billings, supposedly wrote the lines above in his poem The Kicker in the late 19th century. At the time, kicker was used to describe a person who complained. We say supposedly because it hasn't been proven beyond doubt that he did write those lines. There might be doubt over who wrote those lines, but we are sure nobody will disagree with the message behind those words. Still, if you disagree, let's take a look at the two biggest developments in India over the past week. First, last Saturday, Finance Minister Nirmala Sitharaman slashed personal income taxes in the budget for 2025-26. And then, this Friday, Reserve Bank of India Governor Sanjay Malhotra announced the Monetary Policy Committee's decision to cut its benchmark interest rate for the first time in almost 5 years. Now, we won't go into details of Sitharaman's tax cut because it has been covered ad nauseum by newspapers, websites, TV channels, social media and whatnot. But we can't resist from giving a gist of the budget anyway. The budget's biggest announcement was the cut in income tax rates. Essentially, those earning 12 lakh rupees or less won't have to pay any tax. Those earning more than that threshold will also see a reduction in their tax outgo. The cut came after a section of middle class became highly vocal about their dissatisfaction with high taxes, especially after Sitharaman in her previous budget increased taxes on capital gains and removed indexation benefits for real estate and debt funds. For mutual fund investors, the budget offered absolutely nothing. Nothing directly anyway. Although the mutual fund lobby group AMFI had pitched for restoration of indexation benefits on debt funds, Sitharaman chose to ignore all its suggestions. But she also didn't increase the capital gains tax, as some investors had feared. Anyway, the tax cut means people will have more money to spend. The government is hoping that this will revive the slowing demand in consumption and boost economic growth. Critics, however, argue that the tax cut benefits only a small set of people and that it won't be enough to increase consumption or GDP growth. That needs some help from the RBI and the central bank delivered it. The RBI's policy-setting body, meeting for the first time since Malhotra took over as governor, cut the repo rate to 6.25% from 6.50%, making its first reduction since May 2020 when the COVID-19 pandemic sent the global economy into a tailspin. The decision came as demands for a rate cut grew louder from government officials, economists and industrialists due to the economic slowdown. Indeed, the central bank cited slowing growth and moderating inflation as reasons for the rate cut. It projected India's GDP to expand 6.7% next year, above this year's 6.4% estimate, but also issued a warning. Headwinds from geopolitical tensions, protectionist trade policies, volatility in international commodity prices and financial market uncertainties continue to pose downside risks to the outlook, it said. Will the cut in taxes and rates be enough to revive GDP problem? We hope so, although doubts remain. So, what could the consumer and the corporate world do to nudge the government and the RBI to lower taxes and rates even further? Squeak louder. Vroom time. Staying with the squeaky wheels, India's auto sector was in the news this week for more reasons than one. First, the good news. The year 2025 started on a positive note with vehicle sales rising across the board in January, according to the Federation of Automobile Dealers Associations. FADA, which tracks retail sales from dealerships to buyers, said that overall sales in the month grew by 6.6% year-on-year led by a 15.5% jump in sales of cars and SUVs. Sales of commercial vehicles rose 8.22% while tractor sales increased 5% and two-wheelers inched up 4.15%. To be sure, some of the spike, especially in cars and SUVs, stems from December purchases registered in January so that buyers get the advantage of the 2025 model year and get a better resale value as and when they sell their vehicles. Still, the industry will take every little win it can get at a time when sales generally have slowed. Passenger vehicle sales for the 10 months through January have risen only 5.6% from a year earlier while sales of buses, trucks and tractors have been almost flat. And the industry expects the coming months to be cautious, too. Go for algo. For the past few months, the Securities and Exchange Board of India has been warning about the risks involved in futures and options trading and explained how thousands of retail investors lost billions of dollars by engaging in such activity. In September last year, SEBI said in a report that individual F&O traders suffered a total loss of 1.8 trillion rupees over the last three fiscal years and that 93% of individual traders lost money. Meanwhile, institutional investors and proprietary traders made boatloads of money at the expense of individual traders. It then took measures to curb F&O trading by raising the minimum trading amount and reducing the number of weekly options contracts. And then, in December, it sought to level the playing field. This week, SEBI put into action its plan that allows retail investors to use algorithmic trading. Algo trading, for those new to the term, refers to using computer algorithms to trade. It is faster, cheaper, and backed by data. This gives it a leg up. So much so that SEBI's study showed it accounted for 97% of foreign investors' gains and 96% of proprietary traders' profits in futures and options during FY24. In a circular this week, SEBI said that brokers can offer algo trading facility to retail investors but need to take approval from stock exchanges for each algorithm. In addition, an audit trail of algo orders must be kept. Will the new facility really give retail investors a level playing field? Or will institutions and large traders find new ways to retain their edge? More importantly, will it keep retail investors hooked to F&O trading? We will keep you posted. Market wrap. India's benchmark stock market indices, the Sensex and the Nifty, rose marginally this week as a cut in taxes and interest rates helped offset the growing international trade tensions due to US President Donald Trump's tariff wars. Sensex closed the week with a gain of 0.4% and Nifty rose 0.2%. Most banks and non-bank lenders ended with gains on rate cut hopes. IndusInd Bank and Bajaj Finance were the top performers among Nifty stocks, gaining over 8% each during the week. Bajaj Finserv, Axis Bank, Shriram Finance, HDFC Bank and Kotak Mahindra Bank also ended in the green. Auto stocks M&M, Maruti Suzuki, Eicher and Bajaj Auto edged higher thanks to strong quarterly earnings. ITC Hotels, Adani Ports, JSW Steel and Bharti Airtel were the other major gainers. State Bank of India was the sole lender to close in the red. Power Grid, Bharat Electronics, ONGC and Larsen & Toubro were the biggest losers, dragged down by concerns over the moderate rise in the government's planned capex in the budget. Coal India and NTPC also dropped. Consumption-driven stocks such as Trent, Hindustan Unilever, Nestle India and ITC slipped on concerns of slowing growth and tepid earnings that were driven mostly by price hikes. That's all for this week. Until next week, happy investing!